And so we're looking at a series having to do with when God renews vision. So many people often feel lost or maybe spent. You've just poured yourself out. You haven't necessarily seen the results at your work or caring for others or in your ministry. Many people are carrying burdens that seem overwhelming to them. When God renews vision, there's a sense of grace. There's a sense that we did not earn his blessing, but just graciously God visits us and lifts burdens. That is the gospel. God brings good news to the poor, liberty for those who are bound, opening of doors to those who are oppressed. That's what happened when God brings renewal. Renewal, making us new. And when that renewal happens in our lives, it inspires devotion. It inspires a heart of devotion. So what does renewal look like? Well, it looks like the gospel. It looks like God taking people who have not and could not earn favor, earn blessing, in fact, have earned just the opposite. God graciously comes and makes all things new. And this is always possible and only possible through the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins to make our life new. What a gift. What a gift. I make all things new. I just want to remind you this morning, God has the ability to change everything. And this was very present in the minds of the New Testament church. Very early, we see this passage from Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Peter is speaking to a great crowd, and in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he tells the people, a great crowd gathered around the temple, he says, "Repent there and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing," this is what we're talking about, renewal, times of making new, times of restoring your vitality, strength, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. This is what renewal looks like. When God renews our vision, we become conscious that God has transformed us from the inside out. Now, a great renewal that we see is in Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, which I also want to read. And the title of this message is The Heart of Renewal. What happens in our heart when God is renewing us, when God is making things new? Well, this passage is a place where I want to start to think about this for a little bit this morning. It tells us that the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is kind of a snapshot of the early church. The early church was made up of believers in Judaism. They were all Jews. They were all followers of the Old Testament faith. And now God has come through Christ, brought a renewal for them. And this passage is a little snapshot of what happened to them. They were renewed. They were transformed by the presence and the power of God. So what is renewal? Renewal is something that happens in our heart. A renewed heart, we are told in this passage, is a devoted heart. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and prayer. Their hearts were devoted. What is devoted? What does devoted mean? It means attentive. It means present. It means engaged. When that vision dies down, when we're in need of renewal, we don't feel present, we don't feel engaged, and we don't feel attentive. But when God brings renewal, he changes our heart. We become attentive and engaged. You know, people experience this kind of thing even in the secular realm. People experience a sense of engagement, a sense of renewal. Sometimes you feel renewed at your job, or you feel inspired about a project that you're working on. Well, it's the same principle, only it's taken into the spiritual realm. You know, there's a 20-pound note. If you have ever seen British or Scottish currency, there's a 20-pound note, and there's two men on it. One of the men's name is James Watt. James Watt perfected the steam engine. He didn't invent it, but he perfected it. And he's also, I believe, where we get the word Watt. He was a scientist. And he worked on it constantly, and he was devoted to it. He was attentive to it. He was present to it. He was engaged in it. And on the 50-pound note in Scottish banknotes, there's a quote from this man, James Watt. You know what it says? It's just one sentence. I can think of nothing else but this machine. He was captivated. He was totally inspired by what he was doing. That's what a devoted heart is. It's a heart that is inspired, that is captivated, that is present, that is engaged. God wants us in our faith to be devoted, to be captivated, to be engaged, to be present. Problem is, we can't just work this up. I'm going to talk about this in a bit. It's a work of His Holy Spirit in our lives that convinces us of the beauty and the power of what He is doing. There's another very well-known scientist, George Washington Carver. Very similar kind of situation. He was always interested in, fascinated by plants. And we're told in America's library website, .gov, that he was interested in plants. When he was a child, he was known as the plant doctor. He had a secret garden where he grew all kinds of plants. People would ask him for advice when they had sick plants. And sometimes he'd take their plants to his garden and nurse them back to health. He was a plant healer. Carver invented, later when he was teaching at Tuskegee Institute, he put his plant skills to good use. He invented all kinds of things made out of peanuts. He wrote down more than 300 uses of the peanut, including many, many products that we see and use today. He was devoted. His heart had been captured. He was captivated. He was attentive. He was present. So a heart of renewal is a heart that God has somehow captivated, that God has somehow drawn to itself, so it becomes part of our being to be attentive to His will, to be attentive to His word, to be present in what He's about, to be engaged in the spiritual life. So the question is, when we look at the New Testament church, devoted to what? First of all, they were devoted to truth, to the apostles' doctrine. That's very important. Sound doctrine is important. What we believe is important. And by the way, this weekend, celebrated all over the world, is the Reformation of the church. Non-denominational churches or free churches in the United States aren't so aware of this. We don't think about it. But if you're in a Lutheran church, perhaps Presbyterian church, they're probably having a service focusing on that today. Luther's Reformation was devoted to truth. It was devoted to understanding God's will for our life. It was 500 years ago that he nailed his 95 theses on the door to argue out, to discuss, to dispute what was happening into the church and how to bring it into a right direction. And that was a powerful event, a powerful moment. And Luther's focus was a focus that we embrace today, that there are certain truths that are important. And we call these the sola. That is a Latin word for alone. We are saved by faith in Christ alone, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us and poured out his Spirit upon us lavishly, a free gift. We are saved by faith in Christ's work in our behalf. We are saved by Scripture alone, sola scriptura. In other words, the church and all churches really have two sources of truth, Scripture and tradition. I am committed to the truth that tradition is not evil, it is not wrong, but when we put tradition on the level and in the same category as Scripture, then we have misrepresented what our faith should be. Our faith is based in the Word of God and in the teachings of Scripture. That's why we must pay attention to it. Peter said we should pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day star rise in our hearts. The morning star rise, day breaks in our hearts. So that Scripture is the means by which we understand the will of God. We value the tradition of the church. I value the tradition of the church, but it cannot be understood as being on the same level or having the same value or having the same authority as the Scripture itself. And then it was solely by grace. Faith, grace, and Scripture. Actually, usually in that order. By grace means that salvation is a free gift. Not earned, not bought, not at least by our works, bought and paid for by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, available to us because of what he's done on our behalf, available to us because he was raised from the dead, and faith in him and faith in God's actions through him is the only means of salvation. Now, some people say, oh, well, you mean you can do whatever you want as long as you have faith and grace? No, because if we are saved by Scripture, as well as faith and grace, we understand that Scripture teaches us how to live before the Lord. It teaches us what God requires of us, what he calls us to, and we understand that God is writing his law in our heart and putting it in his mind. And if we're really saved by faith through grace, we've entered a new covenant. We've become a new person. We have a new birth. We've been renewed in our spirit, in our mind, and in our heart. And we begin to change. And you know, when I was first saved, I was really lost before I got saved. I couldn't believe what was happening to me. I couldn't believe what God was doing in me. It's because the Spirit was renewing my heart. And if a person is genuinely born of God's Spirit, genuinely renewed, he will begin to experience the motions of the Holy Spirit convicting him, instructing him or her. And as we open the Scriptures, they speak to us with a very loud and clear voice. Now, there's another thing the Reformation did, and the Reformation was birthed, I think, out of the root of literacy. Because it was right about that time and shortly before that the printing press had been invented. And because of the ability to distribute the biblical teaching and the Scripture in one's own language, that the Reformation birthed forth because people had devoted themselves to the truth of the teaching of Scripture. It has transformed our civilization. It's being celebrated widely, the 500th anniversary in Europe. And we stop just for a moment to remember it today. What we believe makes a difference. What we believe about ourselves. We're not animals who happen to have accidentally come into being through natural processes. We are specifically made in the image of God. God has breathed his own life in us. We have a special relationship and calling to God. We also need to understand the truth about the fallenness of our nature. We also need to understand that we have failed to live up to God's desire and will for us, and that we are all in need of redemption, and the truth that God, through Jesus Christ, has become incarnate and he has saved us through his actions. We need to understand these things. These are truths that we need to embrace, and we need to know the great love that God has for us through his redemption of each one of us. So they were devoted to the truth. They were devoted also. They were present, attentive, and engaged in corporate worship. They were in the temple worshiping together. Do you know something that happens in corporate worship that doesn't happen in your quiet time? that can only happen as God's people come together is God's presence acts through the body of Christ to minister life one to another. You have been given gifts. You've given a testimony. You have been given something to contribute to the life of the body of Christ that only is energized when we come together for corporate worship and God's Spirit begins to speak to our hearts and begins to work one through another to build one another up in the faith. They were devoted to fellowship, intimate fellowship with one another. They met not only in the temple as the people of God came together to hear the word of God, but they also met in one another's homes, breaking bread. They had a wonderful, actually in this case, informal fellowship where they were supportive of one another. They were encouraging one another. They were paying attention to one another. You know what? Everybody needs to know and be known. We need to know others and we need to be known by others. And when you place the presence of the Holy Spirit in the mix of that, it's very powerful what God can do in small group fellowship, of which we have many. We've just started a new one, as we've heard. That small group fellowship is powerful. They were devoted to prayer, talking to God. When I first was saved by Christ, I happened to fall in with a group of Christians who would pray at the drop of a hat. I loved it because I needed prayer. I wasn't just confused or just worried. I was all of those things that those people were. And God worked through praying Christians. God can work through you. He will work through you. So a renewed heart is a devoted heart. A renewed heart is a generous heart. The scripture tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving is really a powerful thing. It's something we need to learn to do. It's something the Holy Spirit teaches us to do. God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This giving that they did in the New Testament church, it says that they gave to anyone as they had need. It was an empathetic giving. It was a giving that was inspired by an understanding of the needs of people around them. Generosity, rather. It's the renewed heart is a generous heart. They were empathetic, and they were also engaged because they needed to understand what people's needs were and how they really best could help them. And that's a gift that some people have. They spot a need, and they know how to help a person with a need, and their heart is empathetic and generous toward that person. That's the mark of a renewed heart. Our hearts get so closed and so hard so quickly when we're faced with so many needs and so many things around us, but let us pray that God will continue to give us a soft heart when there's a genuine need around us, that we know how to minister to that, how to be empathetic and generous. It is generous heart. It is extravagant. It is voluntary. It is not demanded. It is something that comes from the heart. Someone said, well, this early church had everything in common. They were just a communist church. And the response is, communism says, what's yours is mine. Christianity says, what's mine is yours. It's a different ethic. It's a counterfeit one of the other. Okay? It's counterfeit. It's voluntary. It's freely given. It's not extorted or coerced. We see this principle of giving. It's very powerful. I'm going to show a video about the power of giving that I think will be very instructive to you. But there's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. This is what Paul says about giving. The point is, whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. But God loves a cheerful giver. This is not about giving out of guilt. It's about developing a heart that's generous toward others. Now, I'm going to show, I want to say that generosity has the power to free us because it reflects God's nature. Now, the video I'm going to show in just a moment is really a description of this. The woman who is speaking on her name is Christina Kuzmic. She's a daughter of a very close colleague of mine in Osijek, Croatia. Some of you know her. She has tens of thousands of followers on her video blog. She is from Osijek, Croatia. She spent a lot of her years growing up around the corner from us, spent time at our house, and is the daughter of a very close colleague, as I said. She went through some really hard times in her life, and she's come out in many ways on the other side, but she shares something here. She's rooted in generations of Christian faith. So she's sharing about how a change in attitude and attempting to serve and bless others is what set her free. She doesn't mention Christ, but she mentions kingdom principles. And it's about a 4+ minute video, but I want you to listen to it, and then I'll close up by walking through the rest of this passage. If you would run that, please. You might want to take it back to the beginning. Take it back to the beginning, if you would.
After my divorce years ago, I found myself completely broke. Broke as in sharing a room with my kids, sleeping on the floor. Broke as in feeding my two toddlers with food stamps. Broke as in I literally had no idea if I was going to be able to afford rent and whether we would end up homeless. And I also became really, really depressed. I mean, really depressed. I found myself sort of obsessed with my own misery. And the only thing I could think of is to volunteer, and that'll make me think about other people. And so I decided to call every place in my area I could think of, homeless shelter, soup kitchen, children's hospital, and I was going to volunteer. And this was going to be my way out of this horrible place I was in. And I got rejected from every single place. Now, if you already feel like a loser, getting rejected from volunteering will take your loser status to like a whole new level. And the reason I got rejected is because I couldn't afford a babysitter. So I would have to take my two young kids with me, and no homeless shelter or soup kitchen wanted a 2- and a 3-year-old helping. And I get it. I mean, they would have done more harm than good. And so here I was, finally with this brilliant idea of how I was gonna get out of this misery, and even that had failed. And one night, couldn't sleep, and I was crying, and I was thinking about my life, and I thought, even when I feel like a complete loser, is there something little, something tiny little that I'm still good at, that I'm still confident in? And the only thing I could think of is, I know how to cook a great meal on very little money. I sent an email to all my friends in my area, and I said, every Wednesday night, I'm going to feed people. If you know anyone who needs a free meal, maybe they're struggling financially, or if you know someone who is lonely, maybe it's an elderly person who just lost their spouse, whatever the need is, I don't care. Bring them to my apartment on Wednesday nights. I am going to feed people. So that first Wednesday night rolled around, and I went to one of my favorite places, the dollar store, because when you're poor, the dollar store makes you feel like you're rich because you can buy more than like 2 items, which is amazing. And went to the grocery store and spent some of my food stamps on just anything I could find that was on sale. I wasn't trying to follow a recipe. I was just trying to create the biggest meal I could with very little money. And then all these negative thoughts started creeping up again. Why would anybody show up to your place? Why would your friends bring anyone to you? They'd probably be embarrassed. You're depressed, Christina. Your life is a mess. No one's gonna expect you to be able to offer someone something. But 6 o'clock rolled around, and slowly, people started coming in. Complete strangers started walking into my apartment and letting me feed them. And by the end of the night, I had fed a ton of strangers in my tiny little apartment on my tiny little budget with my tiny little kids. And I will never forget closing the door after that last person left and just sobbing. But for the first time in a long time, I wasn't sobbing tears of misery and desperation. I was crying like a broken little girl who just experienced her first glimmer of hope. and of healing. And yes, life was still hard and I was still sad and there were still a lot of struggles, but I no longer felt defeated. And then the next day, I got emails from these strangers telling me how much my dinner meant to them. And I'm sitting there reading these emails and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Even when I feel like a complete loser, even when my life feels like a crazy, chaotic mess, if I focus on the little things that I do have and can do, I can turn it into something bigger than I ever expected. And that's literally how I now approach everything in my life. I am done focusing on all the things I can't do and all the things I don't have, all that negative noise. And what I've learned from those dinners is that when I shut down that noise and instead focus on the things I already have and the things I can do, that's where I feel peace. And that is where I can fully embrace and enjoy my crazy awesome life.
Thank you. Thank you. That is Christina Kuzmich. You can find her at Truth Bomb Mom. She talks a lot about single parenting. But here's my point. That's just an illustration. Generosity, giving, serving sets people free. Because God is generous. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's how Francis of Assisi put it. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Jesus put it this way, if a grain of a seed abide alone, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You know, in generosity and in giving and in reaching out to others, there's an element of dying. There's also an element of resurrection. So a renewed heart is a devoted heart. A renewed heart is a generous heart. A renewed heart is a joyful heart. It says that they were full of gladness in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Their faith was not a faith that made them miserable, that made them unhappy, that made them down. It was a faith that celebrated God's goodness, always focused on his faithfulness. A renewed heart is not only a glad and joyful heart, it is also a humble and dependent heart. It said that God, the Lord, added to them daily such as should be saved. I believe if we will be devoted, if we will cultivate a spirit of generosity, if we will cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving, and if we will cultivate a spirit of dependence upon the Lord, that the Lord will visit us with his grace and he will renew our heart and he will renew the body of Christ. Vision, renewed vision, is more than slogans put on paper. It is devotion to a calling. And I want to invite you today to devote yourself to your calling in God. I want to, that's God calling right there. You know, some people won't listen to the preacher, but they can get it on the telephone, right? I want to invite you to become engaged in multiplying yourself. I want to invite you to become engaged in the life of this congregation, this home to the faithful, this resource to community, and this witness to the world. I want you to become engaged in a community that is gospel-centered, no matter how difficult your life has been. God, through Christ, offers new life and salvation. A heart of renewal is a devoted heart. And I want you to invite you to become involved, to participate in the life of this church, no matter who you are, no matter how engaged or disengaged you are now. As you seek to serve, and as you seek to give, and as you seek to participate, I think you will see the resurrection life of God flow out of you, and we will see fruitfulness together. A heart of renewal is a devoted heart. Do you need renewing today? Does your heart need renewing? Are you in a position where you need that newness of life? God offers it to us in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. You may need to be renewed, really, in your whole life. Maybe you've never been born of God's Spirit. I want you to know that God is extending His hands to you today and inviting you into His kingdom. And when we have our prayer teams here, you can come forward and speak with them. You may be suffering from long-term difficulties. God wants to renew your heart today. And when He renews your heart, you will see your heart becoming a devoted heart, present, attentive, and engaged with the things of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you poured out your Spirit on the early church. You gave them a love for truth. You gave them a sense of generosity toward one another. You gave them an understanding that as they laid down their lives for others, it was more blessed to give than to receive. We thank you, Lord, that the Christian faith is a joyful faith. You want us to have glad and sincere hearts. It's a celebratory faith. And we'll thank you, Lord, that the faith is good news. It is good news. And with a humble heart, we accept your grace. Father, move upon our hearts that we may be new people today, changed by your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.